I've learned a lot from my wife. She's very, you know, real sensitive to the Lord in a lot of things. You know, I'm sensitive to the Lord in some things. She's like sensitive to the Lord in like a whole broad scope, like all the little things, you know, things that you don't think about being sensitive to the Lord about. Yeah, you know, she'll, like when she's cooking, she'll be like, bless it, Lord. She's like, bless it, Lord, give it flavor. And she'll be, I'm telling you, she got good food too. but she just brings the Lord into all these different areas of her life. And it comes out when she speaks. She's not, you know, she doesn't come up and speak a message and then go live another way. It's just who she is. So here's my wife, Olga. Love you, sweetie.
I'm going to ask you guys for a favor, and I hope you don't get upset. Could I have you guys all move to the center? That way I can look at you as I speak. Thank you, thank you. Welcome to OS. I'll give a second for people to sit. Again, thank you. I appreciate it. I want to open up in prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask that you have your way today, that you will move by your Spirit, that you will stir the hearts of the people, that tonight, God, they will know your heart, that you will release a revelation of your heart tonight. I yield myself as your servant, and I say, have your way. Give me your words, Lord. In Jesus' name. I'm going to declare that tonight you're going to encounter the Lord. The Lord put it on my heart. He wants to meet with you. He wants to encounter you. So be expecting God to come. My title of my message was The Exchange. Exchanging our heart for what He has. I want to start out with a scripture that everybody's familiar with. Deuteronomy 6:5, and it's in different places. You shall love and serve the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. There's a theme as you read God's word, and He keeps asking for us to love Him with all our hearts, with all our mind, with all our soul. I remember a couple of times as I spent time with the Lord, that's what it's like. We think when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, that's when we've given our heart to Him. But we have opened our heart. There's still a process that needs to take place. And see, I didn't know that. And every time I kept spending time with the Lord, He kept asking me, will you give me your heart? Will you give me your heart? And I'm like, I'm not understanding what He wants. He keeps asking, I'm not understanding. So I knew there was something deeper in that. Because I don't know how often we tell ourselves we love the Lord. We love the Lord. But that scripture is saying, with all our hearts, with all our soul, with all our mind. I mean, there's more to it. There's more that we need to press into. I looked at Deuteronomy 36 verse. And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the hearts of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, that you may live. That circumcision talks about removing impure things from your mind. To purge you, to take care of the things that are unclean and profane. So here we are We're trying to love the Lord thy God with all our hearts. And it says that through his circumcision, you're going to learn to love him with all your hearts. So something needs to be taken care of in our hearts that we're not realizing. There's a work to be done. There's things that need to be peeled off. That skin, that foreskin needs to be peeled from our heart so that we can learn to fully love him. And it says in that scripture that he's the one that's going to do it. That he's the one. And so we have to come to a place where we have to surrender. We don't realize, we think it's just going to happen, but there's a place that we got to go to that we yield and surrender our heart to him. And we invite him to search our heart. We invite him to show us what's there. He is going to do the work. We don't have to do it alone, but we need to surrender. What do we say the heart is? The heart is the inner man, the mind, the will, understanding, emotion, passion, knowledge, your thinking, your reflection, your memories, your inclination, your determination. This heart that you have is not one that beats within you. It's the heart of who you are. It's your will. It's your desire. And God desires it. He desires that part of you. He desires your emotion. He desires you. He wants us to go deeper. So what is there? What is in our heart that he needs to circumcise? And I wanted to go through some of the things. How often does our heart get broken? We go through life and things happen. They either happen to you or you grew up hearing negative words or abuse or whatever it is. Your heart gets wounded. It gets hurt. And when that happens to us, we most of the time begin to build a wall. And we think that we can guard our hearts. So we build this wall and it begins in your mind to think that you're guarding your heart. And so you don't approach people. It's about, oh no, they might hurt me. Or I can't trust that person. Oh, I can't go to that Bible study. Then I'll be vulnerable. And so you just build this wall. And here's the lie. The lie that you think that you can actually guard your heart. You can't guard your heart. God is the one that guards your heart. It's the peace that surpasses all understanding that will guard your heart and mind. So here we are guarding our heart, thinking that we're actually protecting it. But you will find yourself constantly being wounded again. It's not working. It's not working. But what is really happening in the spiritual realm is that, first of all, the enemy loves to use your wounds to keep you believing the lie. He will pick on it. He will pick on your wounds so that you can continue to believe a lie. I'm not good enough. I'm rejected. Nobody likes me. I don't have anything worth saying. I don't have a voice. And so you go through this process because the enemy wants to keep you there. The one thing that you have not done is run to the Lord, because he said he came to mend the brokenhearted. So yielding your heart and surrendering it to him is what we need to do. Not sit there and build a wall and think that we're guarding it. When God says that is his job, it's his job. You're taking his place. You're saying that you can't trust him with it. That you can't trust him with your heart that is so wounded. And because that wall is there, God can't penetrate. He can't get through it. Because you know what? He will not force himself. He's waiting for you to say, Lord, I yield my broken heart to you. Heal it. Mend it. That's what he waits for. So that keeps it. That separates you from the Lord. If you're trying to break through, oh God, I feel like you can't hear me. Well, there's a wall there. You're guarding your heart. You think you're guarding your heart. But the true one that can guard your heart is God. I have to share this testimony. Working in this ministry, you deal with a lot of people. We see people in our team come and go, and Tim and I invest in them and pour into them and love them. Well, there's been a couple of team members that actually hurt me, that hurt Tim and I to the point where we wept. And I remember telling the Lord, I don't want to do this. It hurts. I don't want to do this, Lord. How much pain can I bear? And I remember the Lord telling me, you gave me your heart. It's no longer yours. So that broke me, and I was like, yes. How many times did you ask me for my heart? And I yielded it to you. And now, as I'm yielding my heart to him, I'm experiencing pain coming from those I love. So I began to weep before the Lord. This is your heart. This is not about me. I will give it over and over again. Because it's not my heart. And when you died on that cross, you gave. And you were rejected. You were rejected, but yet you gave. You always gave. And I want to be like you. So I continue on, and I continue to give my heart away. And I continue to love. And I make sure that I don't go into a place where I begin to guard it, because that's where I was going. When I was telling him I couldn't handle this anymore, I can't handle this pain anymore, I was getting ready to step in and build a wall to guard my heart. And I thank God that I didn't do that, because when I'm guarding my heart, I cannot minister the way he desires me too. He has to use my heart. The second thing we experience, hardening of our heart. We harden our heart. I've heard many of people say, I can't feel. What is it like to love? I can't feel. Usually their background is they were never heard. When they were hurting, they weren't comforted, they weren't soothed, they weren't loved on. So instead, when they had emotions or when they were hurt, they were told to shut up, go to your room, or whatever the case is. And so they come to a place where they say, I don't need my emotions. They're just causing me pain. I don't need to be feeling. So they come to a place where they harden their hearts. And there, it's hard, because when they stand before us, we have to chip away at that. Let them know that it's safe to feel. Why can't we harden our hearts? My God is a God of compassion. Every time you saw Jesus move, he moved out of compassion. He healed the sick. set the people free. And we're supposed to be like him. So what he's saying, he needs your heart to express his heart to others. So if your heart is hardened, he's not going to be able to use it. There's so many like that. How many of us believe lies? We fall into deception. We believe that we're failures. We hide in shame. We're not good enough. We're stupid. We're rejected. That heart is full of stuff that it believes. We also have fear. Fears. I don't know if he'll provide for me. I don't know if he'll work in my marriage. I don't know. All these fears, your fears that's within your heart. And the fear consumes you. But there's no fear of God. There's fear of all this. There's fear of the enemy. There's fear what your life is going to be. There's fear. There's anxiety. But when you look, where's the fear of God? Where's the fear of God of who he is? We have treasures that are in our hearts and secrets. Anything that we put before him, our treasure could be our children, our wife, our husband, money. It could be anything that could be your treasure. And God says in his words that he is to come first above all things. He is to come first. So here are these treasures that are hidden in there. And we don't recognize that it's taking God's position. Whatever is in that heart, your mouth is going to speak. I can't tell you how many negative things I hear coming out of the mouth. God, he doesn't hear me. God won't do it. I can't. I'm rejected. And there's all this stuff just coming out of your mouth. And what you speak, that's what you produce. So these negative things that you begin to speak, you start producing it. And guess what I hear next? I hear, God, he's not moving on my behalf. What are you speaking? Are you speaking life? What's coming out of this heart that needs to be circumcised? What's coming out of there? In Genesis 8, our heart precedes evil thoughts, murders, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, blasphemy, evil imagination in the man's heart. The heart, it's deceitfully above all things, desperately sick. Who can know it? We don't know what's in our heart. Every time you go through a phase of life, you begin to experience something that you didn't experience before. When I got married to my husband, he was a happy go lucky man. Then we get married and he finds out that there's anger. There was anger hidden in there. And then I find out how overwhelmed I am with rejection. To the point I didn't even want him to leave the house. We don't know what's in there. You don't know what's in your heart. things will come out that you didn't know was there. I'm going to lay out my dirty laundry. I was married before. It was the darkest time of my life. It was dark. My ex-husband constantly cheated on me. I had a baby that was 3 months old. And my ex-husband comes to me. I get pregnant again. And he tells me to have an abortion. Now, I would have thought in my younger years, I would never, ever do that. I would never do that. And here he comes and asks for that. And what? My stronghold rises up of rejection. I don't want to be rejected by my husband. I don't want not to be accepted by my husband. So then I find myself doing something I never thought I would do. So I aborted my baby. I didn't know that was there. I didn't know the Lord then. I wasn't saved. But I didn't know that was there. I was this quiet child that always wanted to do what's right. I even wanted to become a nun. So I'm telling you, when that rose up within me and I actually did it, I was like, who are you? Who are you? And I am so thankful. Despite what I did, God in his mercy and grace forgave me. He forgave me. And I will tell you, I don't deserve it. And if I could go back, I live with regret. I can't change it. I can't go back and change it. I can't go back and bring them back. Give them a chance. I can't do it. So I live with this. But one thing about God is that he can turn things around for his good. And that was my purpose in life. I took the life of my baby. I took his voice. Now I will become his voice. And I will speak. I will not hide in shame. I will speak so that others can learn from my mistake. So that maybe a baby will be saved. Maybe a mother that aborted their baby can be healed. And she and he, because it takes two. It's a mom and a dad. He and she can be a voice for that unborn child. So that's what I do. We are prone to condemn the Lord so we can be righteous. That's common. He's not listening to me. Why did he allow this to happen to me? He doesn't care. He doesn't hear me. He's angry at me. His expectations are too high for me. I can't meet them. And we begin to point the finger at our God so that we can be righteous. It's not us. We're not the issue. It's God. He's the issue. And our heart does not need to be circumcised. Job came to the place where he started blaming God. And God broke in. Where were you when I created the sea? When I told the ocean to stop right here? Where were you when I created? And he goes down and down the list, showing Job who he is. Are you God that you can create man? How is it that man, that whom he created, can pass judgment on him? Where's the fear of the Lord? Where is the fear of the Lord? My cry is, I don't understand your ways. I don't. But I know that I could trust you. I know that I could trust you. For you know how to give good gifts to your children. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because they reject his. For as we think in our hearts, that's what we are. So the question is, does our heart need to be circumcised? Yes. Yes. Does it need God to search it? Yes. Yes, there needs to be an exchange. Your heart for his. And we don't need to be afraid to allow him to have it. Even though I experienced the pain ministering to others and loving them, I could tell you that my recovery is a whole lot quicker than when I'm trying to guard my heart. Because he actually does what he says. Does God have a heart? Genesis 8:21 says, and the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. Not only does he have a heart, but he can smell. Then the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Nor will I destroy every living thing I have done. He has a heart. I want you guys to understand that your God is real. He feels. His love is stronger. He's deeper in a relationship than we are. He's bigger. He's stronger. And it beats, his heart beats for you. Ephesians 2:3 says, among whom also we all once concluded ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love for us. His love, that is the first thing that I want to point out about him, is his love towards you. You know, when I gave that testimony about my abortion, something could have happened to me, or if my kids could cry out, they in their flesh, they would cry out for justice. Wipe her out. She took my life. Wipe her out. That's what we want to do to people that hurt us. Let them be wiped out. God, do something. But God looks at a picture that you can't see. He sees the whole picture, and he sees that person, and he loves that person, and he longs for that person. He was longing for me. He was wanting me. He was desiring me despite what I did. And so he doesn't snuff us out when we, like ourselves, if we were rejudging, we would snuff out people because of what they've done. But he's not like that. He's merciful and he loves them. He loves us. And he's patient with us. And his mercy endures forever. So he draws you. He draws you. He brings laborers before you to speak truth to you. He speaks to you in your dreams. His love extends his hand towards you. You know that the thoughts that he has towards us, he says, it's like the sand. Do you ever look at sand? Can you take one grain at a time and count them? To think that his thoughts of you is like the sand? This is not the God that we approach. This is not how we look at him. We don't look at him like his thoughts for you are like the sand. We don't look at him that way. He is near to those who have a broken heart. We think he doesn't care. He's near to you. He's near to you when your heart is broken. You're just not looking. You're just not running to him. He cares about your broken heart. It says he upholds the righteous. He upholds you. He knows our sorrow. You're not alone. When you're in that room or when you're somewhere alone and you feel like nobody's there and you've been overwhelmed with your life and you've gone through many sorrows, my God knows them and he cares about them. He cares about your sorrows. Do you know him? Do you know him that way? He is abundant in mercy and grace and loves long-suffering, abounding in goodness and truth. I just shared that testimony, how merciful he was to me, how he drew me to him. And now I have the honor to serve him. The offerings that we offer up to him, they're sweet aroma to him. He hears and he listens. My God is a giver. He gave his son. He gave you the Holy Spirit. You don't have to walk this Christian life alone. He's given you the Holy Spirit. He will help you circumcise your heart. He will guide you into all truth. He will help you change your life. He gave us gifts that he's offered us. Gifts of healing, knowledge. He's abundant in life. He's given you a free will to choose. Although he desires you and wants you, he will not push himself on you. He will be patient. He will draw you. He will draw you gently. you know him. He fights for us. We feel that he doesn't. He fights for us. I don't know how many times he stood in and things that could have happened to me. Let me tell you about my little heart growing up. I was always sick, so I was put in a tent. And all my siblings, there was five of us, including me, they would be playing outside. And I would be put in the tent. There was no growing up learning about God. But for some reason, as I'm laying in that tent, I'm talking to God. I'm talking to God. And I always had a heart to find him, to know him, to be a nun, whatever. I just had a heart for God. I have a pet peeve that because of that, because I didn't get to accept Christ until I was 21, and we're talking, I'm a kid longing for him at a young age, but I was never led to the Lord. So now I got this thing, every time I talk to someone and I know they're not saved, I wait for an opportunity to lead them to the Lord. I'm like, you never know. You never know if that person has a heart and a desire and that they're broken and have nowhere to go and that you can offer them the best thing they could ever have, and that is Jesus Christ. So I use that opportunity when I can. Tim told the story about this guy that came to us when we got done, and he just didn't have a shirt. He just was in his shorts and didn't have his shoes, and he was asking for help. Somebody give me a ride to Lee Summit. So I was being sensitive to the Lord, okay? Because you don't know who's standing before you. So I'm just waiting on the Lord. No or yes? No, no or yes? So we felt at peace and we took him. Well, that night, as we had brought him to our house to give him shoes and a shirt and a book bag and money to get him going again because he lost everything, I got to lead him to the Lord. I led him to the Lord without hesitation. He was all broken. He was broken. He was ripe. He was ready for the picking. And I told him, you can't go nowhere but up. And the only way up is Jesus. Jesus can change your life. Give him a chance. Give your life to him. And I began to minister to him. And then I said, do you want to accept him? He nods his head. I go, no. No. I want to know if you recognize that you're a son of God, that you're part of his family, that he desires you and he wants you and he wants to transform your life and change things for you. And that you've sinned and you need to be forgiven. And he started, please, please. He was begging to be saved and he's nodding his head. When I led him to the Lord, I started telling God, wow, I miss leading people to the Lord because we get to minister to the body of Christ. We're like the hospital. We help repair. So I'm not out in the fields that much. But I told the Lord, I really miss it. You're God. Here's the parts that some of us may not like about him. He's a jealous God. He's jealous for you. He's jealous when you have other things set in place before him. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else shall be added unto you. So he wants to be first. He doesn't want you to have a God in your life. He wants to be that. But if he is that, we don't recognize that as we put him first, everything else shall be added unto us. I had to apply that when I left my son in Illinois. Putting him first, leaving everything, my grandchildren, my son. I remember having my lunch with him, meeting him at work, and I had to tell him that I was leaving to move here. He didn't know I was going to tell him then. He's just enjoying his time with his mother. And then I give him that news. I'm moving. I'm going after God. We're going to Kansas. He puts his spoon down and didn't finish his lunch. Just think how I felt as a mom. I'm going to leave my son that wants me here, that wants me to be there for his children. But I put him first. I was going to pay the price to put God first. He says, go. I've got to go. And I had to tell my son and try to help him to understand. And he was backslidden at the time. He wasn't understanding. But he said, I can respect your beliefs. I said, yeah. How many of us are willing to pay the price to leave all for him? Mother, father, sister, brother. Leave all, pay the price for him. I've seen people give up what they're called to do because they felt their family needed them. Can we trust him? Can we trust him with our family? I trusted him. I said, God, I'm going to give you my all. I'm going to trust you. My son is in your hands. Because you know what? My son belonged to him in the beginning. My son is his. I was just gifted to be his mother. So what does he do while I'm here? We go into the ministry and God begins to change lives and set people free. People are getting healed. And what happens? Son starts coming to the Lord. He said, I will never go to Kansas. I go, no, don't say that. I had to promise me that you will come visit me once or twice, something. So for Christmas, he gives me a letter for my present. And it says, I promise that I will be there. I will take holidays to come and see you. And I still have that. That was 5 years ago, and I still have it. And now he looks to come every year. Every year he wants to come. He gets ministered to. He loves it here. He supports our ministry. You know what I was doing before I made this move, Tim and I? We couldn't find a place where we could fit in a church. So we sat for 3 years. So if I would have stayed, how dead would I have been spiritually? So, so dead. The place that he has taken us while we're here, the revelation, the growth, the experience of seeing him move on our behalf. Oh my God, we live day to day to see him move because our life is by faith. We live by faith. I was spending time with the Lord one time. And I started, because we go on a trip every year to the ocean. And I love it there. I love looking at the ocean and meditating on the Lord. And I remember just thinking that. And the Lord spoke to my heart when I was thinking about it. He said, what would you do if you were offered a condo all paid for and you were supported, knowing money was going to be coming in and you had no care? You could just relax in the condo and look over the ocean and just enjoy yourself and not worry about no food, your clothing, nothing. And so I just stopped for a minute and I was thinking, huh. As I sighed, I started thinking, you know what, Lord? I don't want it. You know what? I'm not happy unless I'm giving my life away. So no, unless the condo is just for me to go once a year or twice, but not to stay there, because I'm happy giving my life away, giving it away for Jesus. And a heart that is uncircumcised will only think of herself, will only think of yourself. It's not going to burn with the things of God. It's not going to look at someone and weep because you feel the heart of God towards them. Because you can sense the love of God flowing through you towards them. Because God doesn't look at himself, he looks at you. Jesus looked at others. He never sat there, woe is me. I have to guard my heart, I'm being rejected. I have to harden my heart. Not to feel. No. Who is our God? Our God grieves. He gets angry when you false accuse him. He wants you to believe him, not reject him. To believe him, it says that the word, he wants to confirm his word through signs and wonders. He wants to show signs and wonders, but we believe he doesn't. And so because we don't believe it, it says if we have faith as a mustard seed and do not doubt. So the doubt is there. He wants to reveal his word. He wants to show us who he is. He wants a chance for you to see him for who he is. Our view of him is perverted. We don't see him rightly. We don't see him as a God that loves you beyond your understanding. That he actually wants to hug you and kiss you. I shared that vision that he gave me concerning that. I was asking him to reveal his love to me. And he gives me this vision. As I'm standing over thousands of people. He's in the center and of that place, and he's just so, I remember thinking he was so big. He was beyond the roof. He was just so big. And I was telling him that, and he's smiling, nodding his head. And then that's when he asked. It was one of the times he asked for my heart, because I said he asked for that more than once. This time I said, Lord, help me. I want to give it to you. And that's when he took it. And he began to hug it. Oh, just like you haven't seen your kid in a long time. You just, oh, get it, oh, get it. And he begins to kiss it. And he begins to lift it up like he, you know, it was a big, great thing. And his light's over there falling, his glory falling on it. And I was so broken. That scripture that we don't understand the length, the breadth, that we don't understand the width of his love just came to me. Because I, even though he showed me that, I knew that was just a little taste of his love. But yet my heart was so overwhelmed and filled with such love. Oh my God, you love me. He goes, yes, Oga. I'm like, Oga? Oga. I'm like, why does that shock me? He said, my name. He goes, yes, I know you. I felt like something changed that day. He's a God that delivers. He's a God that heals. How do you see him? Do you know that his heart beats for you? Do you know that he wants to extend his hands towards you? That he wants to take your heart and hug it? He wants to kiss on it? That he wants you to trust him and know him? We have to be willing for a circumcision of our heart to take place. There's so much there. So much that God needs to work on. But we have to willingly give it to him. We have to willingly say, I trust you, God. Here's my broken heart. Here's my heart that's hardened. Here it is, full of fear and doubt. Here it is, God. Here's my heart. Do what you have to do, God. I surrender. I surrender. Because I know that you love me. That your thoughts towards me are like the sand. That I'm in a safe place. That you're faithful to your promises. That you're a man that will not lie. I can hand over my heart to you, God. Many are your wondrous works. What does it mean to fear the Lord, to admonish, to awe, to inspire, to reverence? Reverence your God. Know that it is an honor to be his son, his daughter. Instead of blaming him for everything that goes wrong in your life, know your God. Know that he cares about the little things. My husband used to think I was crazy just asking him for little things. There would be, what do you call that? When the house and it has crawl space. With lots of boxes. And I had to find something. And it would be like finding a needle in a haystack. So I'm like, God, you know where that is. Show me which box it is. What box is it where I can find it? What does he do? He leads me right to the box. There I open it, and there's what I was looking for. We're like, I wouldn't think of asking him for that. People look at us when we believe for a trip every year. You ask him for that? Yeah. My God is rich. He could provide for that. It says if we ask amiss, I'm not asking it to fulfill my own lust. I'm asking for rest. I'm asking to seek him, to spend time with him. He's going to give it to me. Every year he does it. Every year he provides. He's a good God. He will answer. But do we trust him enough? Do we stand and hold on to his truth no matter how bad the storms get? No matter how bad things look? When we first started trusting God for finances, it looked bad. Phones getting cut off, lights. It was looking bad. But Tim and I said, no, we're going to stay in the storm. And he said, he's not a man that he would lie. I'm going to hold on to his truth. He is my provider. And we're like, he's our provider. And we're resisting the fear, resisting the doubt. And what does he do? He starts providing even more. 5 years of him providing. Trusting him, holding on to what he says. Because he's not a liar. He's not a liar. Let your hearts be stirred. Because I spent 3 days fasting. And he showed me his heart towards you. How he feels about you that you don't even know. You don't know how he feels about you. You look at him as a God in the distance. He's not. He's right here. Right here with you. Right. What do you need? What do you need? He's right here. You don't have to reach so far. He's right here. And he loves you. He desires you. Jesus. I want to share something that the Lord gave me as I was spending time with him these past 3 days. As my heart was broken. Because he revealed how he actually feels about you. He told me to write. I want you to write. I want you to read this to them. So I began to write. And this is what I wrote. My eyes look upon you and I see your beauty, but you don't see it. You're not alone. I walk with you. There's so much I long to do in your life, but you won't let me do it. You will not trust me. Words are not enough. You can't say you trust me and continue to doubt. And walk in fear. In your spirit, your head hangs down. You hide yourself from me. I accept you just the way you are. You can't earn your way to me. I paid a price for you. You are my reward. I suffered for you. I long for your fellowship. Commune with me. I take joy when you come. Know me. Love me. I desire to do you good, not evil. Your judgments against me are not just. I am your God, and I don't even pass judgment on you the way you do me. I am a forgiving God. Come to a place of repentance. I want you to know my love. What more can I do to show you? I gave you my son. Hear me, I am calling you. I am longing for you. Meet with me. Give me your burdens, your hurts. The walls, let me destroy them. They're keeping you from me. Let me confirm my word with signs and wonders. Know that my heart beats for you. I don't want to lose not one of you. A dark hour has come upon you. How will you know I am with you if you do not trust me or know me? I speak. And I just, this other part, I just feel like he wants me to speak it over you. So I'm just going to speak it over you right now. I speak to your eyes. Open. Ears open. Now hear me and come. 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 I'm calling you. Run to me. I will meet you. Open their ears, God. Release a revelation. Give them ears to hear. To hear your very heartbeat. The heartbeat that beats for them. The calling, the drawing. God is saying to run to him. Hear him. Hear his call. Hear his yearning. Hear it. Don't reject him. Don't go into a place of complacency. When he's got more and he wants to take you deeper. So much to reveal to you. So much to show you. So much to love. So much love to pour upon you. Be willing. Be willing to allow him to destroy the walls. Be willing for him to soften your heart. And not let it be hardened. Hear him. Go deeper. Go deeper in your relationship with him. I challenge you. Feels like you do. He feels. He has feelings. If he's drawing you to the altar, you can come. Jesus. Jesus.
Jesus.
Open our eyes, God. Everything and nothing less. To surrender all to you, God. Because you deserve it. You deserve all the glory and honor. You deserve it, God. You deserve our communion. You deserve our love. You deserve it, God. You deserve us yielding our lives to you, God, and say, I'm willing to die to myself. I'm willing, God. Jesus. Is your life his? Is it his? If you're willing to lose your life, then you will find it. You will find it. He's worth the sacrifice. He's worth it. God. Help us to see rightly, Lord. You reign in majesty, O God. Ask Him to open your eyes. Ask Him to circumcise your heart. Let your heart become desperate that you want every obstacle standing in the way between you and Him to be moved, to be gone, to be removed. Because you gotta have Him. That's where you came from. You came from Him. He created you. That is your home. That is your rightful place. He is your Father. He is your Father. And He's a good Father. He's a good Father. Jesus. We say yes to you. We say yes to a circumcision of our heart. Fears, doubts. Oh God. The lack of fear of you. God. Let us break. Jesus. My life, my soul. I surrender. I surrender, God. Help me, Lord, to surrender. Jesus. Let me be undone. Who am I in the light of you? Except who you say I am. You're my daughter. You're my son. And I desire you. I desire your communion. I desire you. Just know when you come, I hear you. Just know when you come, I see you. You don't have to wonder if I'm there or not. For he said he will never leave you or forsake you. He's there. He's there when you can't feel him. He's there in the storm. He's there in the good times. He's there when you're compromising. He's there when you're passing judgment upon him. He's there. He's faithful. He's patient. He's merciful. He's full of grace. He's full of power. He will change your life. You don't have to figure it out. You can just yield and surrender. He will help you change. He sees what he's called you to. He sees what you can become. He's a patient God. You're called with a purpose. You're called. There's work to be done. He wants to use your hands, your feet. He wants to use your eyes, your voice. But you're not going to do it if you keep looking at yourself, if you keep believing the lies, if you keep hearing and not taking your thoughts captive. If you don't choose him, you have a free will. He will not take that from you. No one can take it from you if God can't. Not the enemy. A great God. Release your heart, oh God. Release your heart right now. Move by your spirit in this place. In the name of Jesus, I take authority over every hindrance. And I say, be removed in Jesus' name. Move by the power of your spirit in this room, God. And awaken, awaken your people. Awaken them to you, Lord. Give them revelation, God. Revelation. Jesus, oh God, you're a great God. Help us to see you as a great God. Nothing's impossible for you. Nothing. You're a great God. You can do exceedingly abundantly beyond what we are able to ask or even think. Jesus. My God. Oh, in awakening. In awakening. I say awake, 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 O bride of Christ, awake.